Amen. Oh, so worthy, the Lamb that was slain. Let's open this morning with a word of prayer. Father, this morning as we come to this time and we open your word and we ask now, Lord, that you would come and that you would speak to our hearts, that the Lamb that was slain would teach us of himself. Father, that we would grow in the knowledge and love for our Savior. And Lord, that as we walk through this life, as we walk this way, that we would grow ever closer to our dear Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to continue on this morning with our study of a disciple. And we're going to do a quick recap. And I do mean I'm going to try to do it quick this time. So a disciple is a pupil or a student who is learning of and to be like his master. And we looked at the various parts that make up a disciple. And the first one we looked at was belief. Believing your master, believing he is who he says he is, believing he's worthy of your loyalty and you're following him. The next one was to follow him. To walk as he walked, to follow in his steps, to become like him. The next one we looked at was to leave all. Leave all. Count him worthy and more than worthy of everything that you could possibly give. The Bible says, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? There's nothing you could give that could be worthy of your master or your savior. But yet, you should give him all. The next one we looked at was learning from him, learning of him, learning to know him. Learning to know his heart, to feel the things that he feels, to love the things that he loves, to walk as he walked. Now is the next one, to walk as he walked, to walk in his steps, to exemplify in the way that you and I live the master that we follow, the Lord who we claim to be our leader, our ruler and master of our life. And we looked at becoming like, very similar, becoming like our master. Taking his personality, his character, and allowing him by the power of the Holy Spirit to work that out in us, to make that who we are, to take who he is and make it who we are. That when we are faced with any difficulty or anything in life, that we would have the same kind of reaction that he would have. That we would treat people with the same kind of love and care and compassion that he had. That we would reach out to those who are in need and who are struggling and who are lost and who are troubled the way that Christ did when he was here on earth and the way that he continues to. And I want to touch on one that fits into this category that we didn't touch on, and then we'll finish our recap of the other couple things that we have already looked at. But this one came to my mind as I was reading and preparing this week, and I felt like it should be covered as well. We are called to be, as his disciples, we are called to be ambassadors, representatives of his to this world. And if we look in Luke chapter 9, we see where Jesus sent his disciples out for the first time. This is while he was still here on earth. He was still walking with them. But Luke chapter 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. What did he send them out to do? Literally the same things that he had been doing. They are now to go out and represent him to the people that they meet in all the villages that he's sending them to. And they went out across the country of Israel, and they visited villages and towns, and they came in and they did the same things Jesus did. In another one of the Gospels, he says that he sent them to the places he was going to go to. So he sent them ahead, almost the same way as John the Baptist came ahead before Jesus and said, "Prepare the way of the Lord." And here we see them coming as ambassadors for Jesus Christ, coming ahead of him and ahead of his visit to say, "Hey, the Messiah is coming, the Lord of glory, the one who has all authority and power, the one who loves you more intimately and deeply than you could ever imagine, and call them to repentance, heal the sick, cast out devils, preach the kingdom of God." He says here, he gives them some instructions in verse 3. He says, "Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. In whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, then when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust of your feet for a testimony against them." And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. This is the call that God has given us through Jesus Christ as his disciples. If we are going to be his disciples, one of the key things that we are called to do is to be ambassadors or representatives for him. That we would show to the world around us who he is, what his characteristics are like. Not just in our personal private life of how we live our lives. That's very important. We've touched on that in the previous things that we've talked about. But this specifically is how I relate to the people around me is supposed to be showing forth who Christ is. It's supposed to be showing forth to them an example of who this Savior is. They can't see him. They don't know him. They can't understand him. As we looked at this morning in 1 Corinthians, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those that are lost. But as we present to them through our lives, through the way we walk, through the things we say, through presenting Christ to them, they can begin to see and understand who this Savior is and fall in love with him and learn to know that he is the only way of salvation and eventually come to him for salvation. I want to look on now in this same chapter at verse 13. They came back from going out and they came back excited. They're like, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us." And he said to them, "Rejoice not that the demons are subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven." And it's a large crowd gathers around him, and he's preaching and he's teaching. And in verse 13, they've been with him for quite a while. And in verse 13, he says unto them, "Give ye them to eat." Jesus here is commanding his disciples to feed these people. "Give ye them to eat." And they said, "We have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all this people." So here they're looking, they are called to be ambassadors. They are called, he's saying, "Hey, feed these people." And they go, "I don't have it in me. I don't have it in me." No, you don't. But as an ambassador, you're not called to have it in you. You're called to represent Christ. Christ has it in him. So Jesus said, he took 5 loaves and 2 fishes in verse 16, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples set them before the multitude. So Christ is using his disciples here to be his hands and feet in the same way that he has called us and expects us to be doing that in our day. Though we don't have a physical manifestation of the Son of God living and walking among us in the flesh, yet we are called to be the same way representatives, the hands and the feet. Christ provides, we take it and we present it to those around us. And we are called as disciples to be willing and available to be spent and to be used in God's service, in our Master's service, to be used to give and to give and to give, not drawing from my own supply, because I don't have it, but drawing from His supply, which is infinite. He fed here over 5,000 people, 5,000 men plus women and children, from 5 loaves, 2 fish, and at the end they collect up 12 and a half baskets full beyond when everybody has eaten all that they could want. God's supply is endless. My supply is not. If I try to be an ambassador and to draw from my supply, my, you know, being a good person, having love, having care for the people around me, if I try to do it in my natural strength, I will fail. I will run out. I'll go, well, God, there's no way I can give any more. I don't have enough for all these people unless somehow I go find more somewhere. And He said, no, you're looking in the wrong place. You're not expected. You're commanded to feed these people, but you're not expected to feed them from what you have. You're expected to take what I have and give it to them. And you and I are called as disciples to be representatives for Christ. Not like a gatekeeper that you can't come to Christ unless you come through me. I'm the one who guards the door, and I'll let you in if you come to me and you talk to me. You can't find Christ any other way, no. But yet we are to be a channel, showing forth, magnifying Him. Literally means that I am to take a magnifying glass or a telescope and point it at Jesus Christ so that the people here can see who He is. Because He is so big and powerful and amazing and bright. But if I'm standing here on earth and I look up at one of the massive, mind-blowingly large and bright, powerful stars in our solar system, it looks like a little tiny speck that just barely glows in the dark, because I'm so far away and so steeped in darkness that I can't comprehend the light of that little star. But if somebody hands me a telescope and says, look through this, all of a sudden I get a little glimpse of just how big and powerful that star is. And you and I are called to magnify Christ in that same sort of a way. All the people around us who are lost and in darkness, if they look at Him at all they see is a tiny little speck somewhere off in the distance. But if you and I become channels, become magnifying glasses through which they can look to see the Christ, they'll see a little glimpse of who He is through us. We are called to represent Him, to be used in that way. Ultimately, every person should get directly connected to Christ themselves and begin to draw understanding and life through and from Him. But at some point along the way, as they're coming from darkness into the light, they're going to need somebody to show them a representation of who He is. I can't just walk into an unknown territory and walk up to somebody and say, hey, I want you to be my Savior now. I need somebody to say, hey, this is the direction. Come this way. Let me introduce you to the Savior of the world who wants to cleanse you and wash you and make you new and adopt you into His family. I am called to be a representative, an avenue through which those who are lost and those who are seeking can find Christ. What came to mind last night as I was looking at this and studying this was that old song that we used to sing, would you be poured out as wine upon the altar for me? Christ asking, would you be willing? Would you be willing? Would you be willing to be emptied for me, in sacrifice to me, for those around you? Would you be poured out as wine upon the altar for me? Would you be broken as bread to feed the hungry? Would you be so one with me that you would do just as I would, to learn to love and love to learn my perfect will? Would you be willing to be used and even to be used up for the kingdom of God? Would you be willing to lay yourself down and say, here am I, Master, use me? That is the call to a disciple. That is the call to a disciple. We look in the book of Ezekiel and we see where Ezekiel is given a vision of heaven and there, and God sitting on a throne saying, there's problems down there, there's people walking in darkness, and we need someone to go and to represent the truth of God and to bring them the truth, regardless of how they get treated, regardless of the fact that they'll probably kill you. We need someone to go and speak on my behalf. And Ezekiel says, here am I, send me. This is the call to a disciple. This is the call to a disciple. Will you say, here am I, send me to your master? Are you willing to be poured out as wine? Poured out. What happens if you pour out wine on an altar? It's gone. It's gone. Am I willing to be lost? For myself, my personality, my abilities, my good, my reputation, to be lost in service for Him? Am I willing to be used to show forth to a lost and dying world a Savior who loves them? Am I willing to be consumed to feed the hungry, to quench their thirst? Am I willing to be a channel through which the love of God will reach out and touch the worst of the worst, the most despicable, the most unpleasant people, the most just grating, irritating people? Am I willing to allow Christ to shine through me to those people? Am I willing to become just a channel for my master? Am I willing to become that kind of a disciple? That is the call to a disciple. To abandon me, he must increase, I must decrease. Abandon myself, abandon all that I have that I think is worthwhile, that I can present, that I can show out, that I've got some talents that Christ could use. He doesn't need me, except to be surrendered to Him. He doesn't need what I have to offer, except my heart. It's the only thing He wants, is for me to be willing, me to be open and broken and willing for Him to flow through, to feed the hungry, to quench the thirst of the dying, to call the lost, to call the weak brother or sister to depths they didn't know existed, to challenge them, to draw them, to reach in, the Apostle Paul says, even into the fire to pull them out just before the flames have consumed them. Am I willing to be that kind of a disciple? That is the call. We talked last week about our mindset. Having the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who made Himself of no reputation. Not just a little bit of reputation, no reputation. He didn't pursue His own reputation at all. Not just that He pursued God's reputation more. He didn't pursue His reputation at all. He says, I don't speak of myself. I speak nothing of myself. I do nothing of myself. Everything I say, everything I do is only, always, ever what I see my Father do. That's the Son of God Himself. If He has that kind of abandonment of Himself, how much more should you and I be willing and realize the necessity to abandon ourselves, he actually had something of value to present. We don't. But he chose, he made himself of no reputation. He didn't allow it to happen to him. He made it happen. He made himself of no reputation. And we as disciples are called to let this mind be in us, to take this mindset which Christ had and to embrace it wholeheartedly, to bring our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, to take them by the scruff of the neck, kicking and screaming, and bring them to the obedience of Christ. That is the call to a disciple, to set our minds on things above, not on things on the earth, to have the mindset of Christ, to humble ourselves, to be willing to be nothing, that he might be everything. And we looked last week at accepting the good and the bad both. That there are blessings and there are challenges. There are things that will be difficult. There are things that will challenge you and push you. But where's the source of your strength? Are you trying to feed the 5,000 from what you have? You're going to fail. You're going to be discouraged. You're going to be exhausted and dried out, unbelievably beyond measure. But if you draw from Christ, he's got the strength. But I must be willing. This was what we looked at last week. I must be willing to accept the good and the bad together, knowing that he knows best, that he has all things under control, trusting him, following him, depending on him, and leaving it in his hands. Savior, I'm ready, I'm willing. Here's my life. Use me how you please. I don't have to look out for me anymore. I don't have to try to protect me anymore. I don't have to stick up for me and defend me. I just want to make sure that Jesus looks good. I want to make sure that people know that Jesus is all good and all powerful and all right and all just, and that they see how amazing he is. Even if they think I'm stupid, they're probably not wrong. And I want to look this morning now also at complete in him. Because this is part of being a disciple, is we have to find our completion, our fullness, our satisfaction in him. Because we won't find it anywhere else. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 9, he says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." If you and I are disciples, if we are following him, if we are obeying him, if we are walking as he walked, if we are learning to be like him, we must take this on to the completion of being complete in him. Not needing other sources, not looking for other sources for knowledge, for wisdom, for fulfillment, for strength, for contentment, for satisfaction, for rest. Depending on him, trusting him, believing him, holding on to him, and finding our fullness in him. He's enough. He's enough. He's more than enough. For me and for everyone else. He's enough for me to be fully complete, fully satisfied, fully fulfilled, while also being totally emptied out to everyone else around me, because he's more than enough. And as a disciple, we are called to find our completion in him, our satisfaction, our absolute fulfillment in him. You know, many people spend their lives searching for and striving for and seeking for some kind of fulfillment. And along the way, we find some happiness, we find some joy, we have some fun. But we're always striving for that day, that time, whatever we imagine it's going to be like, where we're going to be fully satisfied. Well, as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that can only come through Him. And it should only come through Him. And if you try to find it any other way, you're going to spend your whole life running after husks, running after floating, blowing smoke, because there's nothing else that can satisfy. But you and I, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are called to be found, to find our completion, our fullness, our satisfaction, our contentment, our joy, our peace, our rest in Him. In Him dwells all the fullness of God. In Him. If I'm looking for it anywhere else, I'm not going to find it. I may convince myself that I found a little piece of it for a time, but it will vanish. It will be used up. How far would these disciples have gotten trying to feed 5,000 men plus women and children with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes they had? They had a little bit, right? It was worth something. No, not really. Might feed one person. In fact, we're told that it was what was a little boy was expecting to eat for his lunch. He was expecting to eat that whole amount. One little boy. That was his lunch. Much less a man. Much less 5,000 plus women and children. But we are called as disciples to find our fullness and completeness in Him. And it's there. It's there. It's not like we have to learn to be content with less. It's all there. All the fullness. Unlimited. If there had been 30,000 people, they still could have picked up 12 baskets full or 150,000 baskets full if Jesus so decided. There's no limit to how much He has and will and can give through and to His people. And you and I, brothers and sisters, as disciples of Jesus Christ, are called to find our fullness in Him. Not searching anymore. We should be the most content, satisfied people on earth. Fully satisfied. Fully satisfied. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, He says, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord." Verse 25, "It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master." That's enough. A true heart of a disciple says, "It's enough for me. It's enough if I can just be like Him. If I can just be fulfilled in Him, completed in Him, it's enough." That is the max aspiration of a disciple that I can possibly attain to and can possibly strive for. It's enough if I can be like my Master. That's enough. That's enough. He's enough. He's good enough. He's strong enough. He's fulfilling enough. He's powerful enough. He's sweet enough. He's amazingly complete enough. The language, any language, fails to express this. He, in Him, dwells the fullness of God. God is infinite. And if you take infinite, never ending, and you say, it's all in Him, how much is that? It's infinite. Amen. Words can't express it, but it is enough for a disciple that he be as his master. That is enough. That's all I need. That's my supreme goal. As a disciple, my supreme goal is to be as my master. It's enough. It's enough. I don't need anything more. I don't need to seek for other things. I don't need to find other satisfaction. I don't need to find other joy. I don't have to be anybody else but a disciple of Jesus Christ. And it's enough. I don't have to be the mayor or the president or somebody that's known all over the world or somebody that's respected or somebody that's admired or looked up to. It's enough that I can just learn to be like him. That's enough. Isn't that amazing? This goes right along with what Paul says, one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 10. But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency. The excellency. I can just see Paul here grasping for a better word. The completeness, the fullness, the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. The excellency. I can't express how good it is to simply know him. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. That I may know him. This is the purpose of my life. That I may know him. What did Matthew say? It is enough. It's enough that I may know him. That's enough. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. My goal, my main aspiration, my life's purpose is that I may know him. That's all I care about. The psalmist says, one thing have I desired of the Lord. One thing. I don't have a list and this is the top thing. This is the only thing I care about. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to see his beauty, to dwell in his presence. And Paul here echoes that and says, this is the one thing that I strive for. I count everything else not just as less valuable, but I count it as dung. Not just worthless, offensive. Offensive. I count it as poop. I count it as garbage. I count it as refuse. Not just that it's not as nice or as good or as valuable as Christ. I hate it in comparison to Christ. I count it as dung that I may win Christ. And be found in him. Be found in him. Complete. Complete. It is enough for a disciple that he be as his master. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word and this time together around it. Lord, drive these truths home in our hearts and our minds, I pray. Lord, help us to find your fullness to be enough. Lord, that we would learn to be complete in you, to find that you are more than sufficient. You are more than enough. Lord, that the main, and not the main, but the only desire and purpose of my life would be that I may be like my Master. Conform us to your image, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.